Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Noah Michelson, and I'm the head of HuffPost Personal.
And I'm Raj, the head of identity content at HuffPost. Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong? The show that explores the all too human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
So Raj, this week we are figuring out, are we doing getting ready for bed wrong? And I'm wondering how badly you think you're doing it.
I mean, I think it's pretty bad. I have this theory that there's a time and a world between when you get into bed and when you actually fall asleep, and mine is pure chaos. It's like scrolling through TikTok, looking at cat videos, buying stuff on Amazon, trying to get laid. Like, none of it, I feel like, is what you're supposed to be doing to get to sleep.
I have a hunch that you're right, and I feel the same way. I'm eating right before bed. I'm on my screens before bed, and it's probably not good for us. But luckily, it's not up to us, because we have Lindsay Holmes. She's a senior editor here at HuffPost, and she's going to help us do getting ready for bed better.
I can't wait.
Hi, Lindsay. It's good to have you.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I wanted to start with this episode of an Amy Schumer show that I saw, and all these people are in a waiting room and they're going to see a doctor, and he comes out and he's like, why are you here? And they're all like, we can't sleep. And he's like, okay, here's what you need to do. Stop looking at your screens an hour before bed. And everyone's like, nope. Like, can I just get surgery? Is there like a drug I can take? He's like, how about just 10 minutes? They're like, no. And I feel that. Like, my routine before bed is I love to watch House Hunters, especially House Hunters International. And then I want to spend 20 minutes in bed looking at my phone. But yep. That's probably not a good idea.
Sadly, no. Although I don't think it's as bad as you believe it is.
Oh, okay. This is good news.
Yes. So I think part of the issue when it comes to screens before bed is more of the content we're consuming. The blue light and everything that comes with that in terms of messing with your sleep is not great. But I think half of the equation that a lot of people don't talk about is the content that we're consuming when we're scrolling social media right before we fall asleep. A lot of Instagram posts and other news stories and just headlines that we see as we're scrolling, even on TikTok, can be anxiety provoking or cause comparison. I know last night, right before I went to bed, I was looking at my Instagram feed and a lot of my friends were posting from their weekend, and I was comparing my weekend to theirs. And I was like, oh, did they have more fun than me this weekend? So I think that that's a huge part of it, is the content you consume, not just the actual act of consuming or looking at your screen.
Okay, so what about ASMR? That's my thing. I like to do like a good 30 minutes of like makeup ASMR, and it makes me feel beautiful and joyous inside.
Okay, that's amazing. I also love ASMR, and I try and listen to an audio version instead of staring at my phone, because they do have that on Spotify, but although that would be a little bit difficult to do, obviously, if you're watching a makeup tutorial or something like
that. Yeah, the visuals are really relaxing, mm-hmm. too. I think it's a very personal thing, but yes. I find it really relaxing.
Yes. There isn't a lot of research on ASMR, unfortunately. I think there needs to be more. Yeah. But that is a very sleep-inducing mode of content. So it's really hard to say. I know that the blue light of your screens can be damaging for your sleep. But
that's what I've heard so much about. So that's the thing. This is kind of blowing my mind because when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about just the blue light. Like just having a screen in front of me, that's what's causing me to not get good sleep. Mm-hmm. But now that you're saying actually the content itself and how that's emotionally affecting me also might be damaging, that is crazy to me.
Yeah. I think it's not talked about as much. We hear so many things about the blue light coming from our screens because there have been so many studies on it. But I think it's a combination of both. If you're consuming content that's going to make you anxious or that's going to put your brain in overdrive in some way, even if it's good content. For example, say you're watching Suits and you are really, really into it and it ends on a really anxiety-provoking cliffhanger and you want to keep watching, that's obviously going to be bad for your sleep. But if you're watching House Hunters and it's really relaxing, or you're watching ASMR and that is calming you down before you go to bed, I think that's less damaging. And I think that a lot of focus tends to be on one thing or the other when it's really a combination of the two.
I mean, I do believe there's harm reduction when it comes to this kind of thing, right? Like maybe you could turn the light down on your phone a little bit, on your phone screen a little bit.
Okay, what about, have either of you ever thought about getting the blue light blocking glasses? Like that seems like a step too far for me. I'm not going to purchase those and I can't imagine wearing them in bed. But do those actually work?
Okay, I have them.
Yeah. I'm currently wearing some.
Okay.
I think they do work. The more we reduce the blue light that we consume, the easier it is on our eyes, the easier it is for our circadian rhythm. There are a ton of studies that say that the blue light can do a bunch of damaging things to your sleep. It can obviously mess with your circadian rhythm. It can reduce the amount of melatonin that your brain naturally produces. Mm-hmm. It's also been shown that blue light can affect your REM cycle, which is really important for sleep. It helps you with cognitive functioning, which obviously we need in our day-to-day lives. Mm. So it's not great, and blue light glasses definitely help with that. I think that I've noticed a difference when I use them, but obviously it's up to every single person in terms of what they're willing to do in order to practice harm reduction.
This is like anecdotal research that my optometrist told me about, but there's about 5% of people who get nauseous after wearing the blue light glasses for like an hour, and that's me. So like,
I believe
it. Puking or not sleeping, like which is better?
Pick your poison.
Pick which kind of suffering you would prefer to have.
Let's get into some of our habits that happen often during the latter part of the day. Talk to me about caffeine intake. Mm. I mean, many of us like to do a little afternoon pick-me-up. Is that affecting our sleep?
It depends on what time you consume your afternoon pick-me-up. Experts say that you should probably cut caffeine out between 4 and 6 hours before you go to sleep. So that depends on your bedtime, obviously, and everyone is different. I prefer to do it 6 hours before bed just because I can be pretty sensitive to caffeine. It really depends on your caffeine sensitivity and when you go to sleep, but ideally the sweet spot is 4 to 6 hours.
I think we're thinking about tolerance too, right? Like I have a pretty high tolerance for caffeine. I drink really strong coffee. So I think my window might be like a little shorter.
Maybe try 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also other things too, like sodas or other drinks. I think sometimes you're just like, oh, don't have a coffee before bed. But if you just had a Coke, like that has a ton of caffeine as well.
Yeah. I think your tolerance for caffeine definitely plays a role here. And I've forgotten that. I'll get a soda sometimes with dinner and drink it. And then I can't fall asleep until midnight. I'm like, why do we think that is? And
apparently it's chocolate too, right?
Yeah.
It has some caffeine in it, yeah. Yeah,
I'm definitely consuming chocolate before bed, like right before
most
bed.
People, yeah. I wouldn't say most people, but a lot of people are, and they may not know that it's affecting their sleep.
Yeah,
it's interesting too, because like my mom, she can't have caffeine after noon, like literally 12 o'clock. Mm. Otherwise, she won't sleep at night. So I think it depends on who you are, how your body metabolizes it. It might be really different for you.
Yeah, definitely. While we're on the topic of imbibing, let's talk about my favorite thing, my little nightcap that I like to have just to be safe, like 3 to 4 nights a week on a good week.
Yeah, I'm also into happy hours and nighttime drinking. I have a sleep tracker, and any time that I drink at night, I check my stats the next morning, and it's basically like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. And I could feel like I have a really good night's sleep, but the tracker tells me otherwise. And a lot of that is because alcohol actually increases your heart rate while you're sleeping. Your body is trying to metabolize the alcohol. It's trying to burn it off. So your body is working to get that out of your system. And so while you may be sleeping, you are actually, like, your heart rate rises a little bit.
It's and doing work.
It's, yeah. And your sleep quality obviously decreases when that happens. So a nightcap might seem like a good idea. It makes you, you know, makes you a little sleepy, makes you relaxed, but then as your body is burning it off overnight, it's actually not giving you the quality rest that you need, which is unfortunate.
I mean, I hate to sound like a lush, but like sometimes I'll have one drink and sometimes I'll have 2 to 3 if I'm like socializing or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
And the quality of sleep is always different.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When I have 2 to 3, I'll like wake up at 5 and be like cranky and dehydrated and then like try to go back to sleep. But one just feels like a hug from a friend. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's true too when you think about, you know, obviously people think about drinking a lot and then blacking out and then just sleeping. But like you're saying, like that kind of sleep is not the same as getting good sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is,
that's like death sleep.
Yeah. Right. Right. Two very different things. But I had no idea about that either, about your heart rate increasing. And
that could just be me, but the insights that I get from my tracker give a general guide to people. And that is one of the things that I'm constantly getting is, oh, it looks like your heart rate was elevated last night. Did you have drinks before bed? Did you eat a heavy meal before bed?
Oh my God, so shamey.
Yeah. Well,
let's talk about that too, because I don't drink a ton during the week, but I love like a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch before bed. Do you all eat before bed? And is it bad for us?
Especially when it comes to food. I never want to say that eating is bad, especially when you are really craving something or you need to eat before you go to sleep. Sometimes that's just reality of life. So I wouldn't ever stress so much about that. However, if you are able to eat at least, I think experts kind of say 30 minutes to an hour before bed, that's not too terrible.
It's like going swimming.
Right, right. Yeah, think of it like going swimming. It doesn't affect you too much. And some places say that things that are heavier in carbs might be more difficult for your body to process overnight. But I think, again, it's dependent on the person, and a time frame is much easier to stick to. So an hour or 30 minutes before bed, I wouldn't say is the worst thing in the world. That's also me personally. There are some nights that I get home from work and I'm busy doing things, you know, around the house, taking care of our dog, all of these things. And I look at the clock and it's 8:30 and I'm panicked because I haven't eaten dinner yet. I'd like to get in bed by 10 and it's just, it's not possible sometimes. So I think you shouldn't focus on that too much. Enjoy your cereal, Noah.
Out of the things I eat right before bed are way more devious than that. It's like nachos with pickles on them. Like the shit I eat before bed gives me nightmares. I swear to God, I just get
spicy
really creative.
Food is known to induce dreams or nightmares.
I definitely have some fucked up dreams sometimes, especially, and we'll definitely segue into this, but like sometimes I'll smoke weed before I go to sleep. That makes me sleep really well, but it does make me eat like very weird things. Not make me, it doesn't, you know, put me in chokehold, but you know what we're talking about.
The munchies are real. Yeah.
And it tastes so good. And it's like, I'm just like feeling really good. But yeah, I think it's the things you're eating too. Like I should transition into like a bowl of cereal. I do want to ask about weed though.
Yeah.
I think many of us are casual evening smokers, especially because the world is crazy and our jobs are stressful sometimes. So, you know, 6, 7, 8 p.m., light a little something up or, you know, have a little gummy. Do you know anything about how that affects our sleep?
So actually, weed kind of just the opposite of what alcohol and nicotine and
winning.
Yeah. it's particularly helpful for people with mental health disorders, with chronic pain disorders. Obviously, you know, even recreational use, there have been some studies linked to weed and CBD even to helping with sleep. The only caveat is that if you are a long-term user and have been either increasing or just have been doing it pretty consistently over an extended period of time. I don't know the exact period of time, but there have been studies that say long-term use can eventually damage your sleep because you build up a tolerance.
Sure.
And that can eventually lead to disruptions in your circadian rhythm. It leads to longer sleep latency, which is the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep, all that. So then you're needing more to get the same effect. So that is the only downside, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But overall, it seems to be a lot better for people than definitely some of our other
I'm an anxiety girly. And
oh, same.
fully team anxiety. And it's been very helpful. Just a little bit. I microdose, though. Mm-hmm. That's all I really need.
Yeah.
I think with all these things, we have to think about our tolerance level and like what right our body is trying to tell us.
Yeah. Health in general and sleep is not one size fits all. Mm. So what I'm able to tolerate is going to be different than what the two of you are going to be able to tolerate. And how we approach getting ready for bed should be looked at in the same way. How my routine is going to be completely different than someone else's. And at the end of the day, if you feel like you're getting quality sleep and you feel you're refreshed when you wake up in the morning, then that's what matters.
Yeah.
Do either of you use melatonin or other sleep aids like that? And is that a good idea, do you think? Mm-hmm. I don't.
I have. Yes. Not consistently, but there have been nights when I just feel like I'm too crazed and can't calm down, or that I'm not tired and I just want some help, mm-hmm. that I have used melatonin. And I've used Advil PM or any sort of Tylenol PM, anything like that, where it's if I, you know, say I had a really tough workout and I'm really sore and I wanted some sleep, I've definitely used those before. It's not recommended to do it long term, mm-hmm. but every once in a while, I don't believe it's a problem. I'm not a doctor, so please consult your physician.
Right.
You know what? The Tylenol PM and the Advil PM knocks me the hell out in 10 minutes. It is so good.
Same.
But the more natural stuff, I've tried a lot of this stuff. Like the melatonin doesn't work on me. So my doctor told me for those, if you want to do something natural, valerian root is another one that works for people who don't really process the melatonin gummies and things like that. But, you know, the natural stuff is cool. I think it's largely also you have to believe in it because I just don't do as much natural stuff. I'll take it and then be like, I'm not sleepy yet.
Is it working? It's been 5 minutes.
Exactly. So I'm hard on that stuff. I love me the drugs. Safely. Yeah.
Right. I guess the idea is that we want to be trying to do whatever we can to not have to rely on it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wonder about is exercising before bed, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, it's going to tire you out. You're going to mm-hmm. just like fall into bed and fall straight to sleep. I don't know if that's true. I work out in the morning, but I have wondered sometimes, like, should I do my workouts at night? Is that a good idea?
So that is also dependent on your schedule and your life. Overall, the answer is probably no, unless it's something calming and relaxing like yoga. I think yoga before bed is a great way to kind of wind your mind and body down. HIIT workouts, I would say you should probably avoid those before you go to bed because it puts your body under stress. Your adrenaline is pumping. It takes a long time for you to kind of come down and unwind. Not only that, but your body temperature is a lot higher doing more high intensity workouts. And we have to have an ideal body temperature to really fall asleep well and sleep well, which experts say that's 68 degrees in your environment. And if your body is overheated, then that makes it really hard for, you know, things to cool down and fall asleep. So it's not recommended to do more high intensity activities. Really depends on the type of exercise. Now, there's a caveat to that, as with all things in health and wellness, unfortunately. Exercise in general is great for sleep. So the more consistently you move your body, the more likely you are going to have a regular optimal sleep schedule. So if you are a person who works full time, who is parenting, who is just someone living in 2023, and you don't have the time to exercise in the morning or in the afternoon, and the nighttime is the only time when you can squeeze it in, that's fine. I would just say that if it's a high intensity type of exercise, then to wait maybe like an hour before you try and go to bed. I wouldn't do it. And then immediately hop into your sheets.
So if Raj is training for the American Ninja Warrior,
she probably...
then maybe wait before you go to bed.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about how hype I get when I do like CrossFit mm-hmm. and ridiculous things like
that.
Yeah, totally. Like, I can't come down for like an hour. Like,
right. Yeah, definitely.
Psychologically.
Definitely have to give yourself kind of a wind down period if you're going to do that.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doingitwrong.
Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong? All right, so we've talked a lot about the behaviors we should kind of leave behind when we're trying to get our best sleep. But imagine you want to be this like A-plus student. What would your routine look like? What are you doing in the hours before you go to bed in order to get that good?
That good sleep. I would say if you are aiming for perfection, you ideally would cut out screen time 30 minutes before you go to sleep. Maybe read a physical copy of a book.
Wow.
I know. Shop your local bookstore and read a physical book. I would also make sure that your sleep space is comfortable. It's cool. You aren't feeling constricted by anything and that, you know, all distractions are kind of cleared out of your room. I would say no alcohol, nicotine, or anything like that before going to sleep. Maybe avoid a heavy meal before bed. Do some gentle stretching. That always kind of primes your mind and body for sleep. And the key here is if you go to sleep, you do all of these things, you lay down, turn off your lights, and you still can't fall asleep. Within, I would say, 20 to 30 minutes, I would get out of bed, leave your bedroom, and go do something that is also calming and relaxing, preferably without screens, and just mentally separate yourself from that space. Because the more that your brain starts to associate your bed with not falling asleep, the harder it is going to be to fall asleep. Yeah.
This is a really good point. And I feel like my mom told me this, but that would be weird when I tell you what I'm going to tell you. Somebody told me that your bed should only be for sleeping, reading, and having sex.
Yep.
And you shouldn't be like watching TV in there. You shouldn't mm-hmm. be eating in there. You shouldn't be building a ship in a bottle in there. Like,
yeah.
That's
working.
All you should. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing your work.
I don't have a TV in my bedroom.
Me neither.
Yeah. For that same reason. I would get so distracted. I would just lie in bed and rot and watch 1 million episodes of anything on TV.
This is why when I watch House Hunters and they always want like a huge bedroom, I'm like, why? You're in there to sleep. You're not even taking advantage of it.
Right.
Like, you want all that square footage in the living room or right. your den or whatever.
Ideally, your bedroom should be like a womb, right? Yeah. Like it shouldn't have much in it. It should be kind of like just really nurturing and not be busy.
Mm-hmm. I think the more calming your space is, the more relaxed you feel when you walk in there, the greater probability that you're going to set yourself up for a good night's sleep. I also want to mention too, I didn't include this in my list, but I personally enjoy this is a white noise machine and setting that up. Mm. Sometimes I set it up for a few minutes before I go to sleep because I think that helps kind of prep my mind and body for rest. And it also drowns out any potential background noises, anything, you know, car horns. We live in New York City, so we have a lot of those, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that white noise can really, really help too.
There's also a white noise machine on your iPhone, I think.
There is, yes.
Which people probably don't know, but you don't have to buy a machine.
It's somewhere in your settings.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to ask, because you mentioned sex.
Yeah.
Sex is a great drug-free way to get sleepy. Should we not be having athletic sex before sleep?
I mean,
missionary? Like, what
I want to say you do whatever
Sorry,
the hell you want to do.
Like, should we be doing like quiet, gentle sex?
If that's going to calm you down.
All right.
Or you can have whatever kind of sex you want 30 minutes before you go to sleep. And then you just slowly calm down after that.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to set a timer. Yeah.
No, I think sex is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think so
with
too.
With yourself or with someone else.
Right.
An orgasm is probably going to be always a good thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a stress reliever and you don't want to be stressed when you go to sleep.
What about how cold are your all's rooms?
Mm.
I want it cold.
This is divisive.
Yeah, this is. So I'm a hot sleeper.
Uh-huh.
I prefer a chillier room with enough blankets or covers, although this is another divisive topic, but I don't sleep with a top sheet. I like a heavier blanket because I like my room cold and I like falling asleep with actually a ceiling fan on too or any kind of fan. The ideal, like I said before, the ideal temperature for sleep is around 68 degrees Fahrenheit. So I try and make it as close to that as possible. 68 is a little cold, but
it is.
It's cozy.
That's not cold enough for me.
Okay, this gets complicated because if you have a partner too, like usually it's...
Oh, yeah.
I do. And so he sleeps under like a down comforter. Mm-hmm. And we also have a dog who's in bed, which we can get to dogs or cats in a minute. But I'm so hot. So I'm just under the top sheet or nothing. Even in the winter, like I'm so hot and he is like wrapped up like a mummy. And it is a little, we get into some fights about it because he would like it warmer and I just can't do it.
Most couples say these kinds of things to me and I'm like, is this like why, like something about why we're attracted to each other, which is like very different body temperatures.
Yeah, it's possible. I feel like my husband and I have a pretty similar sleep preference, but we're both tall people. He's like a furnace and we also have a dog in our bed who is 61 pounds. So it is really warm. So I have to have a lot of cooling factors to help me sleep properly.
You need one of those Sharper Image like personal cooling systems.
Yes. Yes. Like I actually just need to lay on an entire bed of ice.
A slab of ice.
Totally.
Wait, Raj, do you have a pet? I don't even know.
I do. I have a really adorable cat.
Okay.
And she likes to sleep in the bed. And I do have to say that she finds like it's a different position every night. It's a different place every night. And sometimes I don't want to move her when she's like in between my legs and looking like she's dreaming about sex. So
yeah.
And that's I like kind of adjust myself and wake up really sore. Like, talk to me about, I'm bad for this, right?
If we want to talk about what the science says, it's actually pretty split on this.
Okay.
Again, like everything else, some studies have said that it actually is beneficial to sleep with your pets because they are a stress reliever.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about, controlling stress is so critical when it comes to getting a good night's rest. So if having your cat in your bed is a stress reliever at night, it helps you wind down. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for this because, like I said, my dog sleeps with us and he takes up the entire king bed as if it's his. And I'm sleeping on a tiny, tiny corner of the bed that we call the edge of glory because it truly
is just edge.
the glory is cuddling with our dog, but the edge is real.
No, I mean, the bitch purrs. She's so perfect.
They're so happy.
Oh my god.
Usually pets, I mean, not everyone's pet is like this, but a lot of pets really just love being close to their humans and that helps them sleep better. And that makes me happy knowing that. So I have definitely sacrificed hours of sleep since we have started sleeping with our dog in our bed. We tried really, really hard to do many other methods and it just never worked. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
that's I'm guilty too. Right? Too. Yeah. Yeah, we have a 65-pound pit mix. Aww. And same thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to move him. He's so precious. My boyfriend's like, he's a dog. Move him. And I don't.
No.
But I think one thing you can do if you can afford it or you have the room is get a bigger bed.
Yeah.
Like, we have a full-size bed right now.
Oh,
which that is tight. A struggle.
Yeah. So we're going to upgrade at some point. Not everyone can, though. But
right. No, because bedrooms are so small in New York City and like many places.
Yeah.
But my dream is to have a king bed and like more cats.
Yes.
I will say, as someone on the king bed side, it gets a little better, but it's still a struggle.
Okay, that's good to know, because I have just like fantasies about how amazing I'll be and my life will be once I get a king size.
Yeah, I mean, it will make a difference, but you might still end up on the edge of glory.
I feel like what I'm learning here is that there is, like you said earlier, Lindsay, no one size fits all
right.
way to do this. And you have to decide what your priority is.
Right.
And maybe your priority is your dog sleeping with you, or maybe it's that bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch or nachos with pickles or whatever it is, and like, or that cocktail. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you're not going to sleep as well as you would without it, but maybe that doesn't matter to you.
Right. And I would honestly say the same for screens to an extent.
Mm.
Going back to what we were saying earlier about the content that we're consuming, I think it really does make a difference. So I actually do the opposite of what I'm telling everyone to do sometimes, which is I will sit in bed for 20 minutes and I will scroll TikTok. But I find that relaxing, or watch an ASMR video or something like that. I find that relaxing. I've curated my TikTok algorithm very well, so I don't get a lot of scary things. I'm mostly like laughing at silly videos and golden retriever videos and Taylor Swift concert clips. So it really is kind of relaxing for me. And sometimes it's the only time in my day that I have to just mindlessly scroll TikTok. And that's okay. I think that aiming for progress, not perfection, is good. So if I spend 20 minutes scrolling in bed, I put my phone away and then I will, you know, talk with my husband before we fall asleep, or we will read or do something, have sex, whatever. Sorry, I just shared that with everyone on our podcast.
We support that.
This is a safe space. I love when people have sex. Yeah.
It's like a lot. It's a lot better to kind of do whatever helps you relax. And if that's not by the book, science-wise, that's okay too.
I love that. Lindsay, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for Better in 5. This is your takeaway of everything we just learned when we wrap it up and drop it right in front of you and make it easy. Number one, reduce your screen time. Or if you can't reduce it, then try and watch things that aren't going to terrify you, like The Omen or Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, try ASMR or porn, you know, relaxing things. All right, number two, prepare your body for bed. Make sure you limit anything that stimulates your body too much, like caffeine or alcohol.
Exactly. And then prepare your room for bed. Mm-hmm. That's number three. So get it as cold as you can get it. I like it to be an ice cube, basically. Get everything off your bed. If you've brought your computer in there, if you've been eating in bed, if your dog's there, just make sure your space is as clean and calm and uncluttered as you can get it.
All right. So number four, think about your routine and think about what you might be able to add to make it even more relaxing. So it might be weed. It might be some instrumental music. It could be sex. Just really be intentional about adding something in that'll help.
I vote for an orgasm.
Yes.
An orgasm is probably your number one gift before bed.
I would agree. No receipts.
Number five, Raj, I think we can agree that what works for me is not going to work for you. Mm-hmm. And what works for you is not going to work for Lindsay or anyone else. So ultimately, you have to decide, and it's all about balance. If having that bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch makes you happy, have it. If having your dog in bed makes you happy, keep him there.
Hashtag snuggles.
It's all about prioritizing what's going to make your life the best.
Choose your own sleep adventure.
So, Raj, have you been getting ready for bed wrong?
Egregiously so, but I'm going to work on it. I'm not going to kick my cat out of bed, but the phone thing stuck out to me. I think on days where I have something important the night before, I will put my phone away a little earlier. What about you?
Yeah, I love the idea of just maybe choosing one tangible thing to change could have a huge impact. So I am not stopping my HGTV addiction. I couldn't if I wanted, but you know what I can do? I can stop eating before bed. And that seems like a simple thing that maybe could pay off and get me better sleep.
Yeah, baby steps.
Exactly. So until next time, as long as there are things to get wrong, we'll be here to help you do them better.
Sleep tight.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.